Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Lee from the Lee and Keys Real Talk. Got my man Keys on the line. We're ready to talk to y'all with the rare Sunday night edition. But we got a lot to talk about. We haven't been on the air in a while, and we decided tonight to jump on and give you guys a little bit of what's going on our mind. What's up, Keys? What's going on, bro?
Am I on? You got me?
Yeah, I got you. I hear you.
Oh, all right. I'm not used to calling up from the guest queue. Jeez. What's it called? So, it's crazy. I feel like we haven't talked to the people in kind of a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Because I was looking through, the last show we did was like almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was right after the Khabib fight.
Oh yeah, you know what's funny about it? We didn't even really, you know, I was playing that back. We didn't even really talk about that event for all the build up. That was a very short time that was talked about. I don't even mind. It wasn't. I mean, everything that happened.
Yeah, I think we really didn't talk about it because, after the Conor thing, that kind of took the shit. Then with Holloway not making weight, and then with Pettis pulling out, and then, with the UFC, with the New York State Commission not letting Paul Felder fight, and then putting Ike Kenton there, it just went from anticipated pay-per-view to, well, let's hopefully the UFC can pull this off without anything else. But, in the last couple of weeks, we done had Dustin Poirier beat Justin Gaethje. We just had Kevin Lee win against Edson Barboza. We had our boy Frankie win again against Cub Swanson. There's been a lot going on, man. So, what's going on? What has been the most impressive thing to you so far in the past couple of weeks since we last talked?
I didn't watch either one of those two events. So I don't know. I actually forgot who even fought. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I was like, damn, Lee's probably going to ask me about last weekend's fights, but I don't even honestly remember who fought. I didn't even know who was the main event last weekend. It was so relevant to my life.
Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who they were. I don't know what it was.
I didn't watch them either. I kind of watched the highlights and, because I think for me, as a UFC fan here lately, I kind of been turned off on the product, man. It's been a little too much. I think we'd have had, four events, 4 weekends in a row. And, I think we're on overkill. So, I'm with you, man. I didn't even watch. I watched the highlights of Barboza and Lee. I watched the highlights of I watched the highlights of our boy Aljamain Sterling fight last night because he fought a guy that was undefeated last night. And then after the fight, he called out Dominique Cruz, which is kind of interesting. But, we'll get better. We'll get back on top of watching our UFC and what we post to starting this weekend with the New Year's Raquel Pennington fight. So we'll get back on it, folks. Don't give up on us.
Hey, well, I'll tell it to you like this. Lee will get back on it. I don't know about me watching that Nunes. I don't give a damn about that card, but Lee will give you the updates. I'll just be on the sidelines, listening too. He'll let me know. I ain't losing faith in him though. I ain't watching that card.
Thanks, bro.
I don't give a damn about that.
I'll keep you updated.
Who the fuck is Pennington? I don't know who this is.
I think Pennington will get her a good fight, though, man. I think stylistically, she matches up well with Nunez. But the only thing about it is, can she take a punch? Raquel Pennington she's a veteran, man. She fought some of the top girls in the game. She took a little bit of time off. But we just got to see where she at, man. You know, can she take a punch? Everybody know Nunez is going to come out striking, standing up, and we'll see what happens. Pennington just needs to be able to withstand that barrage, but we'll see what happens. Then also, I don't know now you know about this, but Ponzinibbio, you know, he's supposed to be fighting our boy Usman, and he pulled out of the fight today, so they're looking for somebody to fight Usman in Chile.
Ah, man, that was the only fight I was looking forward to. That was the only fight that I wanted to watch in like, the next couple months of the UFC. And I mean, they got to get somebody for our guy Usman. They can't do him like that.
I feel the same way, man.
I think them guys are scared of Usman. I think that's what it's coming down to. I think Ponzinibbio, he knows. I think he just backed out. He's saying he got an injury. I think he's just scared. It's okay, though. It's understandable. Usman is a talented guy. He's got a lot of weapons. That's the thing. He can hold you against the cage. He could wrestle with you.
Yep.
He'll stand and bang with you.
Yep.
Guys don't want to fight a guy like that.
Yeah. Actually, I think Ponzinibbio, man, I think he may succumb to what my man Keys like to say, mental warfare. And I think his mental warfare, man, came from just watching tape of Usman because, like my man Keys said, Usman is multi-talented. He can stand in the bang. He can wrestle. He can grapple. You know, he can submit. He can submit opponents. The dude, really, I haven't seen a weakness in this game. But also, I'm in the top 10 guys as he fought. So, you know, I'm going to hold off my judgment on him until I see him fight some top flight dudes. And I was definitely looking forward to him fighting Ponzinibbio. But Ponzinibbio pulled out, and now they're looking for somebody to fight Usman. But the UFC also said there's nobody in the top 15 to fight him at this time. So I don't know whether or not they're going to redo the main event and move the co-main event to the main event and try to keep him ready for if somebody pulls out in the RDA Covington fight, which I'm hoping RDA pulls out so we can finally see Usman versus Covington.
Man, they don't want to see that. Don't nobody want to see Kobe fight. But really, though, it just depends. Does UFC want to feed Kobe to Usman? That's the thing. Does he want to be a human sacrifice, or does he want to be a sacrificial lamb? There's only two options.
So he will get sacrificed either which way, huh?
Yeah. Hey, he ain't making it. No matter which way, he ain't making it out.
Yeah. I just think I know me and my man Keys, when we talk about Kobe Covington, me and Keys feel the same way. We feel like you should earn your way to a title shot, not talk your way to a title shot. And I feel like Covington has talked his way into the title picture. And when you like look at his record, he really hasn't fought anybody outside of Damian Maia. And he's fighting for the interim belt. And to me, that gives the interim belt no credence at all if he wins it. Mm-hmm. If RDA wins it, I can respect that because RDA is a former champ. And basically, he has fought his way to his title shot. The UFC has kind of made a mockery of these interim belts, and I won't get on my soapbox about that no more because, once again, I'm not a T-Wood fan, but I definitely feel like they're disrespecting Tyron Woodley. One guy who I can honestly say has become the champion, has defended his belt, and just because he had a small setback with an injury, the UFC wants to hold that against him and create this interim belt. I don't know whether or not they're doing that to create hype for the next fight, but to me, you're disrespecting Woodley by doing this. And I know T. Wood is my boy, is my man Keys, dude, and you know, I just feel like they're doing my man wrong. But we're not going to dwell on that. And I'm going to let my man Keys speak on that because I know that's near and dear to his heart. about this fake interim belt that they about to be fighting for. Go ahead, Keys. Let the people know what's going on.
Hey, I like what you said about that. That it could build for the next fight, because now I think of it as like the concept of saying. I mean, a lot of times in boxing, I've been paying attention to boxing a little bit lately. You know, I actually kind of, I didn't watch the fights, but I had my eye on the aftermath of the fights. There was like a big fight, boxing fight card that went down. They had like Adrian Broner was on there. I think Amir Khan was on. I don't know if it was the same card, but he fought the same night. They had Gervonta Davis was on the same card, I think the same night. It was crazy. There was a lot of
Jarnell Charlo.
Yeah. The dude was on there. Who was the fucking Jesse Vargas was on there. They fought to a majority draw, him and Adrian Broner. I guess that was a good fight. Gervonta Davis had he won by TKO. You know, Amir Khan, had like a 15-second knockout. Some dude, I don't know like how good that dude is that he fought. You know how boxing, how they like to throw guys in there, but. What I'm saying is that boxing like to hype their fights by having unification fights. So when you have two champions and then the winner can take all the belts. So, but in the UFC's case, since they don't unify different weight divisions, they can build off of unifying interim belts with the real belt. So having that unification. Unification fight, you know, say between RDA and Woodley would be more intriguing than having just a contender, you know, fight for just, you know, regular welterweight title. It just sounds, it's more of a hype to say that it's a unification, the title unification bout, you know, instead of just saying regular title bout. I've been dying to say this to you. Is that it, street justice? There has been a case of street justice, you know where, on the pound for pound rankings. I feel like you didn't notice this, but there has been street justice served on the pound for pound rankings UFC, and I think they have answered my prayers. I've been talking about this for a long time, and it has wished itself into existence. I'm going to work its way from the bottom to the top. So, now I'm going to go from top to bottom. I'm going to just come out and say it. My man, Stipe, has been moved up to number 3 in the pound for pound. How long have I been saying that he should be higher up in the pound for pound? They finally did it. How beautiful is that?
Since he beat Francis Ngannou.
We need to take a moment of silence.
Since he beat Francis Ngannou, you said he should be in the top 3. Yep.
I did, and... I said, well, I don't know if I said he should be 2 or 3, but I definitely said he should win 2 or 3. And now they moved him up to 3. They moved McGregor down to 4, which that's another street justice, because I don't know why in the world he was up there. And then after that, they moved my boy Keywood. He moved up a rank 2. So that's 3 power moves. Three of my wishes have been fulfilled at one time. You know, I did say that.
Who was number 1 and who was number 2?
Demetrius Johnson is number 1. George St. Pierre is number 2. That I don't agree with, but.
Hell no. Come on, man. GSP is number 2? Come on, man. All right. Hey, look. All right. Me and you can talk about this for a minute. Hey, our audience, just in case y'all ain't been following us, me and my man Keys, we've been doing our show off script, no script. We just been talking what's on our mind. And my man, he done sparked my interest right now. Okay. With Conor being number 4 and GSP being number 2, two of the most inactive guys in UFC. We got to come up with a stipulation for this pound-for-pound thing. It got to be that you got to fight at least 3 times a year. Something, man. How the guy that ain't fought in 4 years number 2? He fought 1 time in 3 years.
How he even
it's
made it? How he
even
keys. How he even get on there? How? Never mind even up that high. How he even on that list? Like you said, he wasn't even an active fighter until November of last year, and that's only 5 months ago. He just fought. They don't even update these lists until months later. Stipe had been waiting to get moved up. He fought 3 months ago. They just moved him up. GSP fought 5 months ago. He's number two. How'd that work out? How is that a thing?
All right.
Look at this. Look at this. Woodley fought like four times. Four title fights, and he's number eight. Tied with Khabib, also number eight. I think Khabib and Woodley are tied either for seven or eight. This is what blows my mind. Even as much as we don't even care for Khabib, he's still 25-0. I mean, he's still been more active than GSP in the last couple of years. So, I don't know, man. That's crazy. I think they're wilding with that.
All right. So, off the top of your head, give me your top five pound for pound, one through five.
All right. Give me like 5 seconds. All right. So, all right. Demetrius Johnson, Stipe. Woodley.
Okay.
This is. I'm not trying to go into order here. Can't think of it. I want to say Whitaker, but at the same time, it's like Whitaker kind of fights spread out. Yeah, and he ain't fought in a while. Who really been fighting lately?
But
I can't really put my finger on this.
Yeah, but if you think about it, though, when he was fighting, he did fight. I think three of the top guys to at least earn that belt. You know, he fought Jacare, he fought Yoel Romero, and he fought Derek Brunson? I can't remember the third guy he fought, but at least I think he fought three top 10 guys before he got hurt.
Oh, I feel like Max Holloway might be up there. I want to put Max Holloway before Whitaker because
That's a good pick. He don't want
Holloway
like
actually,
10 fights, 14. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, man. If you really look at Holloway, I think he got to be because – and then he beat Aldo twice after that, which is – I mean, Aldo's still a fierce competitor. And then he – you know, we got to give him credit for trying to step in and fight Khabib. I think that puts stock in his name because he wanted to keep going. And the commission said that he was unfit to fight. But as far as he was concerned, he was like, no, let's keep going. I'll keep cutting weight until I got to get in there. And then I'll go in there and fight. You know, not giving a damn that he's moving up on weight or that he has a fight in a couple months. You know, forget about the belt. He's just going to jump in there. So, I mean, I think that adds stock to his name, if anything, even though it didn't work out.
Yeah, I can respect that. So you got on DJ, Stipe, T. Wood, Max Holloway, and you said Robert Whitaker, right?
I did say Whitaker, but I'm not sure. Leave the five open. I don't know who I put at five right now.
I think I would go with DJ number one. I think I would go with Stipe number two. I think I would go with Max Holloway number three. I think I would go with this might be the one that's going to be controversial. I would go with Frankie Edgar number four, and I would go with Tyron Woodley at number five. Only reason I'm going with Frankie at number four is because I think he's going to beat everybody in the top 10 in his division. Except the champ and Ortega. And I think Ortega, you know, he caught Frankie, but also it was a late notice replacement. So that's my top five. And I think at number six, honorable mention would be TJ. I think I would go with TJ at number six, man, because I think the UFC did him kind of dirty, man. You know, he lost a close fight to Dominique Cruz, They made him fight two fights to get a title shot, and then he get a title shot and he won. And now they gonna have him fight Cody with an automatic, with an instant rematch or whatever. I think I would go with TJ at number six. And, yeah, I think that's what I would roll with. There's a lot of guys that's in the pound-for-pound rankings that I just don't agree with. I mean, GSP, Conor McGregor. I think John Jones is still ranked in the pound-for-pound rankings. I don't agree with that. Daniel Cormier, I wouldn't agree with that because he hasn't fought. He has fought maybe, but he has defended his belt against Gustafsson, Rumble Johnson, and Oldsmobile. And I think that's been three times in the last 3 years or 3.5 years or something like that. So me and my man Keys, man, one thing about us is we want fighters to be active. If dudes aren't active, there's no way they should be on the pound-for-pound ranking. I wouldn't rank Cyborg because she's in a made-up division just so the UFC can showcase her. I've been on this women's division for a long time, and hey, I just don't feel that she's good. Yeah, but go ahead, my man. I don't mean to y'all up on the airplay tonight.
No, it's all good. I mean, did you hear about that? That just reminds me because we've been talking about how there's no fighters for that division, and then I just saw that the UFC is having Holly Holm fight the girl Anderson, Megan Anderson. They're going to have a fight at 145. Imagine a non-title fight at 145. That's been a long time coming.
But you know why they're doing that, though, right?
No.
The reason that they're doing it is because Megan Anderson is supposed to be basically the second best 145 fighter in the world. She was supposed to fight Cyborg, but she ended up getting hurt. So then they end up like having Holly fight the other girl that she just basically destroyed. She ended up fighting the other girl for the intro belt. When the other girl, Geronimi, decided she wasn't going to fight Cyborg. And then she was supposed to fight Megan Anderson, but Megan Anderson got hurt. And then she ended up fighting, I wonder if her name is Leslie Smith or something like that. But, man, this 145 division in the females, man, it's, I want to see Megan win. I want her to beat Holly Holm so I can see her against Cyborg. That's the only reason why I want to see her win. But after Cyborg and Megan Anderson, let's get rid of the 145 division for women's. Let's retire it.
That's a snooze right there. I mean, I don't even know.
My man Keith said that's a snooze for me. I'll be good. that's funny, man.
I think we got to admit more often when we just don't have nothing to say.
I can live with that.
So what I wanted to say was, the pound-for-pound rankings is wild. We could go on about that forever, but almost nobody up there should even be up there. But anyways, we'll talk about that. What I did want to say is that I didn't see the fight, but I was listening to our last show, and I did say that I was fully confident that Kevin Lee was going to beat Barboza. I said he was going to decisively
beat
Barboza.
Yes, you did say that.
And from what I've seen in the highlights and all the reports is that Kevin Lee dominated that fight. Besides that head kick in the third round when Barboza had Kevin wobbled, he looked like he was doing the Stanky leg up there. Besides that time.
Oh, man. Just thank you, man. God.
Hey, somebody said that online. I was cracking up. After I seen how he wobbled, it was crazy. But then he landed the takedown. My man still landed the takedown. I was like, man, Kevin Lee's special. You guys got to give him some damn credit for that. That was perfect. Not like DC got head kicked and he flew across the damn octagon, fell into the corner, bro.
Not your boy. Not your boy. You're not talking bad about your boy.
I'm just saying we got to compare to something. Kevin Lee took that head kick like a man, and he still won the fight. He recovered and still won the fight.
The funny part is when you look at it in slow motion, he almost turned his ankle, too. Because he couldn't keep his balance because an old boy kicked him. Because an old boy kicked him, he wobbled to the left. And then when he tried to come back right, he almost turned his ankle. I was like, man, hey, but, yeah, man. I think instincts is why he got that takedown. It wasn't all skill. It was instinct.
He might have been ready to fall forward at the same time. He knew he might have face plant, and then he just tried to grab Barbosa at the last second. That might have been what happened. You might have a point.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Hey, so, Keys, let me ask you this, right? Well, Kevin Lee winning last night, right?
Who's
who
next
you think
to him?
Should be next in line to fight who next for Khabib? Or do you think, all right, so who you think Kevin Lee should fight next?
Oh, man, I already got this one locked. Kevin Lee and Alvarez should be the next fight. 125%, that's the one I want to see. Kevin Lee should fight Alvarez, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the UFC does not want, for some reason, to put Alvarez in another title fight. He already come out and said that they, you know, he felt like they were expecting him to lose to Gaethje. And then when he turned around and beat Gaethje, the UFC didn't even call him. Because they didn't even know, they didn't even have a plan. So now Gaethje fight Poirier and he lose. So now Poirier feel like he's in the picture somewhere, right? And So I feel like, and Dana said that Poirier could be a title contender. So, I think Khabib wants to fight McGregor. But the UFC might want him to fight Poirier. So I think one of those two will probably be the next one to fight Khabib. I don't know which one. I don't really care. But I do want to see Kevin Lee fight Alvarez. That's the fight that I want to see in the lightweight division. Forget the title. That's the real title fight right there.
Okay. I got you. So you lined up for Khabib and Dustin Poirier with Kevin Lee and Alvarez fighting the title elimination fight, whereas I think I'm in line for Alvarez versus Khabib because I think Alvarez deserves a shot. He's actually been on a tear since he lost the belt to Conor. And I want to see Kevin Lee versus Dustin Poirier as a title eliminator. I think Poirier, he done did his thing. Yeah, he done won a couple fights. But at the same time, I think Kevin Lee has done the same thing. His only losses to Tony Ferguson. And the only reason I didn't pick Kevin Lee versus Ferguson, too, is because it's a little too soon for that. The only way I want to see that fight is if one of them had the belt. So I know the UFC will probably go your way. They'll probably have Poirier versus Khabib and then Alvarez versus Kevin Lee as a title eliminator. Even though those are two good fights, I wouldn't argue any which way that they set that up. But, you know, this division is tough, man. Ooh, this division is tough. This division And the 145 division is tough right now. Man, those are part of the two stack divisions that we got right now. Kevin Lee, I'm disappointed though, Keys. We haven't brought this up, so I'm gonna bring it up now. He didn't make weight yesterday, bro.
He
was in the main event fight and he didn't make weight. Come on, man. If you want people to take you seriously as a title contender, as one of the best fighters in the world, you got to be professional and make weight, man. So yesterday he had to forfeit 20% of his purse to Barboza because he couldn't make weight. He said, it's his first time not making weight. He apologized during the weigh-ins. He apologized after his fight, and he apologized at the post-fight media interviews. But at the same time, come on, bro. You one of the top fighters in your division. You know, you're an up-and-coming star. You have to make weight.
Yeah, it's what was he 2 pounds over? 2 pounds overweight?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was 2 pounds over.
It's funny because the last two fights that I remember, the other guy not making weight, the guy who was overweight won by knockout in both fights.
Yeah.
Because the last time we saw Romero, our boy Yoel, the Cuban, he fought Rockhold and knocked him out stiff. And he was 3 pounds overweight.
Didn't make weight.
Now we've seen Kevin Lee almost get knocked out, but then he didn't knock out Barboza clean. The doctor stopped it, I think. That's what I read. Doctor stoppage.
Yeah, it was a TKO. He had him on the ground, I think, for like 2 minutes. Ground and pound, elbows, punches. Yeah, it was basically over, man. I mean, actually, I'd be mad at Barboza's corner for not throwing the towel in, because that guy took a lot of punishment for about 2 minutes. And actually, the ref jumped in and stopped the fight. But his corner should have stopped that fight.
And Kevin Lee said before the fight that he was going to beat Barboza worse than Khabib did. Would you say that's fair to say at this point, being that you watched the fights?
You know what's funny? Is I think Khabib had a 10-7 round, a 10-8 round, and then I think the rest of the rounds was 10-9. Kevin Lee had two 10-8 rounds against Barboza. So I think they're about the same. So, but I think Barboza, when you look at who he has fought, this guy has fought basically everybody in the top 10, man. This guy, he doesn't run. He accepts fights. He takes fights. He doesn't try to run for nobody. But at the same time, if his leg kicks aren't getting off, then he's Damian Maya of that division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like if his leg kicks ain't effective, then, you know, it's like what else does he have in his bag that'll be effective against top flight guys?
He turns into the pony.
Yeah, so, but you know, the UFC is in an interesting place now because I don't know whether or not you'd have noticed this, but there are a lot of fights on UFC 226.
I heard about two that just got booked, but I don't know too much about what other cards are on there. I heard Mike Perry. My boy Mike Perry is on the card. I heard about that.
Yeah, Mike Perry is fighting. I can't remember who he's fighting. He's on the card. Bobby Green is on the card. Holloway and Ortega is on the card. Of course, Stipe and DC is on the card.
They have the best
man,
of the left.
Man, that's a lot of stack, man.
There's one that you left out.
Who all are you
on? One that I heard about.
Oh, shit.
I thought you actually forgot. You didn't even. You had. I feel like you've seen this. Man,
what's that?
We've been talking about them doing this fight for a while, man. Me and you have been talking about this fight for like since we started this show, saying that this was gonna happen.
Okay.
They got Ngannou fighting our boy
Derek
Lewis.
Ngannou and Derek Lewis.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's a crazy fight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I forgot about that fight. They announced that this week. That was announced this week.
That's probably the most exciting thing on there right now.
I don't know, man. Me and my man Keith might have to go to Vegas and broadcast from Vegas. Let y'all know what's going on. We might have to go to Vegas, folks.
I'm saying. I mean, damn, we'll be predicting the next card at that rate.
Man, that card is stacked, bro. I know the prelims is going to be like a pay-per-view then. Because, you only get 5 fights on the main event. So you already got Stipe DC. You're going to have Ortega Holloway. Probably going to have Mike Perry. He's probably going to be on the main event. Bobby Green probably going to be on the prelims. Ngannou and Lewis going to be on the main card. Man, that card is stacked, bro.
You never know. They might try and sneak in one more title fight onto that card.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work because the only person they probably could put on that card is Cyborg because everybody else is scheduled to fight because Nunez is scheduled to fight. Rose Namajunas, she just came off of a fight. Kobe and RDA is fighting. I think TJ and Cody is already scheduled to be on another card. DJ ain't scheduled to fight because I think, DJ ain't scheduled to fight no time soon. So, I don't see nobody else, man.
I mean, unless they they come out of nowhere with Rose Namajunas actually jumps right back into a camp and she's going to defend her belt on the card. That's possible. Can't rule that out. She was fine after fighting Joanna. She didn't even take that much damage.
Well, I don't know, but she limped out the cage, though, because she did take quite a few leg kicks in that fight. And she did limp out the cage. Yeah, I don't see Rose fighting probably to the fall. And I probably see her fighting maybe Claudia Gadelha.
What about Andrade? You don't think they'll have Rose fight? Rose fight Andrade?
I think they might have Rose fight Andrade. And I think Joanna probably is going to move up in weight. I think she probably goes to the 125 division.
Yeah, that's easy for her. Go in there and fight a bunch of girls who, like, don't have, you know, kind of experience that she has. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the only person she's really going to fight at 125 is Paige VanZant, who really isn't that good.
I mean, but, you know, down the line, though,
she the only girl I know 125.
You know, the one fight that I could see that would be, you know, pretty intriguing for Joanna at 125 is her and Shevchenko.
Again?
Shevchenko, they never fought before.
Oh, that's right. Shevchenko fought Nunez, and I think she got robbed. I think she got robbed the first time. And I think the second fight should have been a draw. But, yeah, man, that would be a good fight, her and Shevchenko at 125.
Hey, don't rule that out. It might happen. We might see that in the next, you know, maybe not this year, maybe early next year. Maybe even this year. Who knows? I mean, Shevchenko is officially fighting at 120. What?
Y'all heard it from my man Keys first. Keys called it.
Yeah, don't sleep. In the next, you know, 9 months, if you see that come up booked, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be a fight right there. I'll be watching that one. Because that's like two crazy striking. You know, that's just going to be a stand-up fight. That's gonna, just going to be two crazy strikers right there.
And Shevchenko is pretty good, too.
Yeah,
she's pretty good.
For real. But we'll see. Other than that, I couldn't see any other title fights off the top of my head. I mean, because Whitaker's fighting right on the event before that one. So them guys can't fight. And then DC and Stipe are already on the cards. So you know there's no lightweight, light heavyweight. Unless they want to give Gustafsson his interim fight that he was talking about. They could put that on the card.
Hey, well, look, man, let me ask you this, right? You know, we sit back and we talk about a lot of fights. And, you know, we talk about the UFC a lot because, you know, our show is built on MMA and, you know, we talk about a lot of other stuff. But, you know, man, what's your opinion on the state of the UFC right now? I mean, tell me one thing that you like about the UFC and one thing that you don't like about the UFC right now.
The one thing that I do like off the top of my head, I don't know if this is a universal thing, but I know in terms of me, this makes me happy towards the UFC, is the fact that, you know, a couple times in the past, like, you know, week or so, I seen my man Stipe on TV on a commercial. Like, this guy is on a commercial not even having to do with the UFC. It was like some other brand has him on the commercial. That just made me so happy. So I'm like, what does this do? They finally give the damn champ some promotion. And they even call him the champ in the commercial. And they're talking about him doing, you know, being a fireman and stuff. Like, they kind of give him a little background as to, like, who he is in the commercial while, like, promoting the brand. Man, that shit made me so happy. See, I don't know if that's, like, answering your question, but I like that they did that.
So your thing is they finally done got behind Stipe a little bit after not really promoting him. I think me and you talked about in the past how the UFC always kind of tends to back the guys with the biggest mouths instead of the guys with the biggest skills. So I feel you on that.
And the crazy part
so
about
what's
it
the one thing
is,
you
I
don't
that,
like?
I think if Stipe would have stopped, like, talking more, and if he would have stopped, like, maybe this would ruin him, you know, so you could say, like, this would probably, like, he'd end up getting knocked out, you know, something like that when guys talk a lot. But if Stipe would have stopped, like, talking the way his the things he does in the octagon, if he would have translated that to the microphone and start talking, you know, the ego that is, if he was talking through the skills that he shows in the octagon, he would probably be the biggest star in the UFC. I think so. He would easily be, because if he would have been talking to these guys at the press conference before the fight and then go in there and handle guys the way that he does every time, I don't see how he would be the most highly promoted and biggest star in the UFC. Fans would be obsessed with Stipe. But yeah, man, one thing I don't like about the UFC right now is I don't like these. I try to say them not in a different way, but I don't like these events. These events they're putting on you know, I'm not interested in the title fight. Like, you're just dying to have an event. I don't know. I still think the thing I don't like is the too many events. It'd probably be the biggest thing that I don't like right at this time.
Yeah, because I think they'd have, like, I think they'd have, what, four events in 4 weeks? Four weekends, they'd have four events. So I know me and you talked about this, I think about 3 episodes back, about when you have so many events, you can't find people to come in and be replacement fighters because everybody's scheduled to fight or they're already fought. And then you're trying to, like, go and pick guys up off the street to fill in spots and cards. And, you know, and case in point was the guy that they had Verdun fight. And I think Verdun beat him in, like, within the first round. And he was a super last-minute replacement. But I think the one thing I like about the UFC still is – I think the UFC, they still stick to trying to put on the best fights that they can put on. Whereas, you know, in boxing, I think guys would rather not fight certain guys. You know, they find excuses not to fight certain guys. When the UFC, they still try to put on the best fights. The one thing I don't like about the UFC is they don't really know how to promote the younger guys. They don't know how to really give the younger guys, like, a lot of shine. They'll put them maybe on the main card, you know, the opening bout of the main card or the main event or the prelims. But why not have a card full of, you know, your number 10, your number 8 through number 12 guys in, like, 3 divisions? So the fans can become more acquainted with them. You know, fans will know who they are. We don't know them guys until, you know, they move up in the rankings. So I think the UFC has a problem with promoting guys that's not in the top 10. You know, so they need to do a better job at promoting guys, especially the younger guys. Because, you know, my theme for 2018 is new blood. I'm all about the new blood. Let's get some new guys in there. Let's see what these new guys can do. So, you know, but overall, the UFC is still a quality product. We're not knocking the UFC. We're just giving our opinion on what we like and what we don't like. We are still UFC fans. The UFC is kind of the roots to our show. So we are not knocking the UFC, folks. We're just giving our opinion on what we like and what we don't like. I know my man Keys, you know, he in Boston. You know, I'm in Denver. So I'm going to ask my man Keys this question, and we're going to switch gears real quick. Hey, Keys, how you feel about the Celtics, bro? In the playoffs, how you feel about the Celtics? They tied at 2 games apiece.
Yeah, so my Celtics were up, I think, 2-0 in the first 2 games.
2-2 now.
But I'm pretty sure – no. They played 2-0, I think, because the first 2 games was in Boston, I think. And then from there, the next 2 games we played out in Milwaukee. And, man, we just can't seem to beat these guys when we're playing on their home turf. We had a pretty hard time getting anything going in the past 2 games. I mean, like, I know Friday night's game, we got blown out.
Blown out pretty bad.
And then today's, I think they played earlier today. I was watching it. Did they play earlier? Yeah, they played earlier today, 1 o'clock. And I caught some of that. And I think we started to come back towards the end of the game, but we woke up too late. And we really started to figure it out too late. And it wasn't enough, and I think it ended up being a close game. But, I mean, them guys had us beat. You know, that whole first half, they dominated us. So, my Celtics just can't seem to beat these guys when they're on their home turf. So, I guess we'll see what happens.
You know what, man? I give y'all coach. Y'all coach is definitely one of the best coaches in the NBA, because if you look at the Celtics, they have no superstar player on the floor. No superstar player. Kyrie hurt. IT is gone. And Gordon Hayward got hurt early in the season. I mean, they do have Al Horford, who is a quality veteran, but he's not a superstar. And for what Brad Stevens is getting out of these guys, man, it's amazing, man. I mean, like today I was watching the game. I was at my barber's house to get my hair cut, and they was down 65-45. I say, man, this game over. Look up, they down by 10. Then they down by 6. Then they up by 1. Then they up by 3. I was like, man, what the hell is going on? I don't know what Brad Stevens does. I don't know what he says. But that guy is an incredible coach. He's getting the most out of these players without a superstar player. And I think the series goes 7 games. And I think Boston pulls it out in game 7. I think they win the next home game. Then they go to Milwaukee and lose. And then they come back and play game 7 in Boston and they win. So I'm rolling with the Celtics to win in 7, bro.
Wow. That was a nice breakdown of Brad Stevens. I almost felt like saying thank you, as if it was like I was on the team or something like that. That was so nice. Like, he needs to hear that. That evaluation Lee just gave was quality. God damn. But yeah, I mean, you have a point. I mean, he definitely makes something out of next to nothing with what the Celtics. I mean, especially, I mean, what's it called? The injuries that we've had, like, throughout the season has been big hit to the team. And each time one happens, you know, you think to say, damn, like, this season might be, you know, you think people start thinking the worst thing is, damn, like, that might be the season right there. I'm happy to see what we can do next time I have anything. And Kyrie, you know, is out for the season in the playoffs, and you say, damn, like, how are they going to play without Kyrie? And then he still brings them out there, and they make it happen. I mean, you know, the last game of the regular season, I don't know if you heard about this, but we played the Brooklyn Nets, and one of our centers, Aaron Baines, if you look up his stat line for that last game the Celtics had in the regular season versus the Brooklyn Nets, this dude went off. He, like, set a record for, like, stats for any center in Celtics history. The last time that it had been reached was Kevin Garnett. I think he put up, like, I think it was, like, 28 points, 14 rebounds, bro. Oh, my God. This dude went way off. Crazy. And that's the type of shit that just blows my mind, how these guys step up. They keep stepping up, you know? You don't expect it. I mean, if you just look at Terry Rozier, too, he really stepped up this season alone.
I mean, yeah, Terry Rozier is involved.
Yeah. The last time I was in the Garden watching them play, I felt like I was watching him the whole game. And I was like, man, I remember years ago, I was never watching him the whole game. I mean, they weren't even giving him minutes out there. They weren't even letting him play back, you know, years ago. Nowadays, you know, he's out there the majority of the game, and I'm excited to watch this dude. So just seeing these guys grow is crazy, and seeing other guys that you don't expect, you know, or might not have been growing, step up out of nowhere and have a excellent performance is great to see that. You know, it ain't even just about winning, but just seeing these guys, like, go out there and, you know, make it look natural. Like, they're enjoying themselves. But at the same time, you can tell they're getting better. So it's good to see that.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you, man, I have definitely become a fan of Brad Stevens, man. I like that guy. I like what he did when he was in college at Butler. getting them to back-to-back national championships games. I didn't think his coaching would translate to the NBA, but it has. And much props to him, man. And, that dude is outstanding. Well, man, you know, we got about 4.5 minutes left in the show. And, I always got to ask my man Keys in closing. What's on your mind, bro? Get the people some knowledge.
So what's on my mind is this is pretty close related to what we were just talking about. And I was hoping to hook it at the end, and I still can. So it's cool. The 76ers right now are up 3-1 over the Miami Heat. So one game, and they will enter the second round of the playoffs. I feel like, bro, is this the Matrix? The Sixers are about to enter the second round of the playoffs? What?
That's right. They won like 10 games like 2 years ago.
This is crazy. This is so crazy. Oh, my God. Dwayne Wade came out and said, like, they had a quote. I think it was the Bleacher Report. They quoted Dwayne Wade interview. He was like, you know, this Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons Sixers team is special. And I was like, man, look at the OG paying some respect to all these young guys going out there. Because the Sixers got a young team. There's a lot of talent there. And I was happy to see that this season. And I'm happy to see that they're, you know, making some moves in the playoffs. The fact that they're even in the playoffs, I'm happy, you know, at that. That's some new commotion, you know, on the East that we're not used to seeing. So I love these new teams. I love the fact that the Pelicans are in the playoffs. You know, I don't remember the last time
they're in the second round, too.
Playoffs. What?
Chris Paul.
What? Oh, but they lost?
No, they were second round. They swept. They swept. They swept Portland.
Who'd they play? Okay. So, word, even more. So, the Pelicans are in the second round. So, that's beautiful. And who else? There's one more team on the West that I was surprised to see. Oh, yeah. I mean, the Jazz. But they've been in the playoffs, so they're used to that. But I think the Jazz are doing pretty good, too. But, I'm just happy to see the new different teams getting out there, especially the Sixers. I hope the Sixers go even more deep. You know, in Vegas got them up in the odds, too, for winning the NBA Finals. Isn't that crazy?
They got a good team, man. I mean, I can't lie. I mean, after all that losing and all them draft picks, you should have a good team. But I'm surprised about Philly. I'm surprised about New Orleans. But at the same time, happy for the city of Philly, and I'm happy for Anthony Davis, man, because Anthony Davis been catching a lot of flack about being a good player without a playoff win. So I'm happy for him. But what's on my mind, you know, me and my man Keys about to wrap up, is I want to say congratulations to Kendrick Lamar for winning a Pulitzer for his album, Damn. Even though he didn't win a Grammy for it, I think he won something bigger than a Grammy, which is a Pulitzer Award, which means that his work has been recognized by more than just music listeners, but also by writers. And I also want to say what's up to my boy J. Cole for dropping KOD this week. Probably another gem from him, the word gem. You know, my man Keys like to use that. A lyrical gem because, once again, you know, I'm a guy that listens to a lot of lyrics and what people got to say. And J. Cole has blessed us again with his words, his production, and his overall rap skills. And KOD is definitely worth listening to. I want to say thank you to my man Keys for jumping on tonight. I know right now he's been a little busy, and, you know, we haven't been blessing y'all to what we're supposed to. But like I said, we will get better, and we appreciate all y'all's support. Close us out, Keys.
All right, everybody, you know, watch out for tornadoes. You know, I was watching the news the other day, and this kid.
Man, you and this weather, man.
Now, I'm going to tell you like this. This is real shit. I swear to God, man. So watch out for tornadoes, because I was reading the news the other day. Y'all know I'm a reporter and stuff, so I have to, you know, keep current with the news and everything. So I'm always reading the news, and I read a report, no lie, I swear to God, this kid in North Carolina, you know the game Fortnite? Lee, you know the game Fortnite?
Yeah, I don't play
this
video games, but I heard
playing,
of it.
All right, so this is game Fortnite, right? And a lot of people are addicted to it. Like, they play it all the time. So this teenager in North Carolina was playing Fortnite at his house, and he said that he heard, like, a lot of – it was, like, he looked outside, and he seemed like he heard the wind. Like, it was getting crazy, a lot of wind outside. Man, there was a tornado. There was a tornado that hit his house, and he kept playing Fortnite. This kid kept going. He was so locked in on that Fortnite. A tornado hit his house, and he didn't even stop playing until he seen that the roof was ripped off his house. Then he started to go out to the bathroom.
Wow.
Man.
So the moral to the story is, people, video games are not more important than your life. But look, my man Keys, he has definitely been on his weather tip here lately, and normally when he closes on the show, he tell you to, like, make sure you paying attention to what's going on with Mother Nature, and I'm gonna echo that, because a lot of people seem to take the weather not as serious as they're supposed to. So please listen to your local weather and take heed to all warnings and do what you can to keep yourself safe, you and your family. So make sure you're doing that. My man Keys have definitely opened my eyes to that. I mean, I live out here in Denver. You know, we have a lot of tornadoes out here. We have a lot of high winds. We have a lot of wildfires. And, you know, I definitely stay up on the local weather. Like Friday night, I was going to go out to a 420 show. It was outside, and then when I saw the weather forecast that it was supposed to rain and snow, I decided I was going to stay home. It did rain, and it was cold. It didn't start snowing until earlier the next morning, but I decided to take the safe route, and I'm glad I did. So, people, please stay informed on your local weather.
Yeah, so bundle up, get a rain jacket. You know, it's all about those rain jackets.
Okay. Travel with an umbrella.
So, yeah, you got to just, you know, stick with the umbrella and lay low, because, you know, sometimes the condensation gets too much. And,
hey, Keys, one thing,
we're not
man.
Ready.
Hey, when we get off the air, man, send me Yaz's Twitter handle.
Yeah, I'll send it over to you. I don't think he uses Twitter really much at all, but I'll send it to you.
Because I think the last time we talked, he said he was up on Twitter. So, yeah, just send me his Twitter handle. But take us home, bro.
You.
You know you good at this, boy. You know, hey. My man Keys on how to take us home.
Yeah, so anyways, you know, I was looking at the statistic that we had a show like a couple weeks back, and it said there was like 18, like, I think it was 18 people listening in, like, on some particular day, and I was like, my God, we must have been on some really interesting shit that day to have 18 people listening to the show at the same time, so... Salute to y'all for that. I mean, I didn't even think we even had stuff worth listening to. I thought we just liked talking to each other. But anyways, so shout out to that. Salute to everybody for listening, you know, whenever, because I can't tell when it is, but I see the numbers, and I appreciate y'all. you're all beautiful. And yeah, so just, you know, appreciate yourself, because you're a wonderful human being, and you don't have enough people that tell you that in your life. So I told you right now, you're wonderful, and I appreciate you. And if you ever want to call up and talk about some random thing, it's all good, because that's what we like these days. We just go random. You know, we don't even like to talk about what we're going to talk about before the show. We just like to hit each other with the knowledge right there, and we hit the ground running from there. So, and it seems, you know, it flows. So we want you to flow too. So if you want to flow right into the conversation, you can flow down that 917-889-3251 into your phone. You know, that 917-889-3251 right into your phone. So you can flow your own flow right into the flowing conversation if it's flowing. And, yeah, we'll be there to flow with you. So, yeah, come rock out with us. And to all a good night. And happy whatever you're celebrating. You know, if it's still celebrating 420, then, you know, go light up one more, you know, by listening to this show. So, yeah, go kick that off. Who's over there laughing? Go kick that off right now. All right.
On 422. Yeah, go celebrate, yeah. 420 on 422. That's what's up.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but, yeah, some of these people, they might still be going hard, man. It might be 420 weekend for them. And Sunday ain't over.
They still going hard out here. Still going hard out here.
Oh, yeah?
There's people that flew into town just for the weekend, yeah. Because,
man.
I mean, I know out here is crazy. I know Seattle, Washington is crazy, and I know Vegas is crazy because weed is legal in Vegas too much. So, but, you know, and my closing, I always like to say to my man Keys, you know, thanks for being the best, my best partner on the air. Keep pushing with the schoolwork. To everybody that's out there listening, stay safe. God bless. And, keep your ears tuned in to our show. We only gonna get bigger and better. And till next time, we'll talk to you.
All right, that's a wrap. See you all next time.
Peace.
Thank you for supporting.